Our scripture reading this morning will be from 1 John, verses 1 through 10. 1 John 1 through 10. I'll be reading out of New American Standard. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And that life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us.
What a blessing it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. We know for a fact that God is pleased with our worship when we do things according to His word and according to His will. We are very grateful for those who are members of the Lord's church. It's always good to see you here as we come to worship God. We're also grateful for those who are visiting with us, that you know that you're indeed our honored guest, and we're glad that you're here and hurriedly come back to see us. When we think about fellowship and the theme that we have been eagerly dealing with for the last couple of weeks, as it relates to ready to give answer, I want us to consider being ready to give answer with fellowship and the love of fellowship. For this month, we're talking about love, and we need to love fellowship. In 1 John, when we consider this great text that was read in our hearing, we look at what John is saying as he is writing to the brethren, encouraging them, strengthening them, admonishing them because of certain teachers that had crept in, if you will, teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't in the flesh. It was unfortunate that this teaching was going on. But when we consider this great teaching of fellowship, it is laced in these verses. And I want us to consider, before we go deeper into the text, that all of us strive to have fellowship. All of us want to have some type of communion with someone, some type of closeness, a relationship, someone that we can relate to and relate with. When we think about the God of heaven, the God of heaven is all about relationships. When you think about the Godhead has a great relationship with one another. As a matter of fact, they always agree with one another. They always speak the same thing. There is never a power struggle between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They are one, if you will. They are in unison. They have great fellowship one with another. But what is fellowship? Fellowship is a joint participation with someone or something. When we think about that joint participation, all of us have a need for joining with someone or something. This is why we attach ourselves either to God or to something else, either to a person or to a thing. You ever wonder why do I attach myself to God? Why do I attach myself to the brethren? Why do I want to be amongst His people? Or why do I don't want to be amongst his people. We have to ask ourselves that as it relates to the love of fellowship. When you think about 1 John chapter 1, as we look at this particular text, our fellowship depends upon the testimony of the apostles. And I want us to take consideration of these things before we look at any application. But when we look at verses 1 through 3, we'll read these particular verses and make some comments as we go on. Here we see that our fellowship is with the Godhead. Notice what is being said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, when we consider these great passages of Scripture, and we think about this great fellowship that we have with our Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with his Word, friends, we have to understand that is based upon apostolic testimony, which means that the apostles were the ones that saw the Lord. They were the ones that felt the Lord and handled him. They were the ones that heard the Lord, which teaches us, these men being inspired by the Holy Spirit, that they can be trusted. The Spirit himself is true. And because the Spirit is true, and because these men were guided by the Spirit, and because Jesus spent time with these men, and these men could not lie as it relates to this, we can have fellowship with the Father as well. Which also teaches us that the things in which the apostles wrote, we can trust it. We can trust the Word of God. And friends, we need to keep that in mind, and our young people need to understand that you can trust the Bible. I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, but it is true anyhow. It doesn't matter what any professor says. It doesn't matter what any man says. It doesn't matter what any preacher says. It matters what God says. And because God said it is true, we can trust it. And this is why we have to scrutinize the Word of God. This is why we have to read the Word of God and go into the Word of God ourselves and study it. Why? Because the very things in which the apostles said, they said it was manifested. It was revealed. That life, which is Christ, and Jesus Christ is that life. It was revealed. It was manifested. We have handled it. We've seen it. We know it. And this is what we declare unto you. Thought about that. And I thought about this declaration that the apostles made. That this Jesus Christ, and we know that he came in the flesh because it was prophesied for him to come into the flesh. When Jesus was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7 and verse 14, Matthew 1, 22 and 23, that same man was on the cross, John 19 and verse number 34, and when that soldier pierced him in the side, forthwith came blood and water, and it's the same blood that purchased the church, the same blood that washes us from our sins, and it's the same blood that cleanses us when we confess fault. Friends, we can trust God. Friends, when we consider the love of fellowship, we can trust God. And if I don't get no point across, I hope I get that point across, that we can trust him and we can trust his word and we can trust every word that he says. For Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Why is it, friends, that when we read God's word, something else comes to mind at times and we doubt the Lord? We doubt the meaning of the word. We take someone else's word above God. We can read something in the scriptures and we can know that it says it in black and white or in red and white, and someone else can say something totally different. Well, it really doesn't mean that, and we'll give them some type of credence. No, let's believe what God says. Let's believe the word. We have fellowship not only with the Father, but with the apostles, because it was their teaching. It was the teachings that was left them. But notice verse 4. In 1 John 1 and verse number 4, friends, our fellowship with the God of heaven and with the apostles have great benefits. Notice verse number 4. And these things we write. Wow. He says, we're writing these things unto you. We declare these things unto you. We've taught you these things, and we write these things unto you that you may have joy. I don't know what it is why the children of God at times lose their joy. Oh, friends, I'm not saying that bad things doesn't happen to us at times. I'm not saying that we are not misunderstood at times. But we should never lose our joy. You shouldn't give no one that much credence and that much credit and that much power over your life. He says, write these things unto you that you may have joy and that it may be complete, that it may be full. God wants us to be a joyous people. But notice verse 5. Because of this fellowship, and because of the message that secures our fellowship, which I believe this is Paul's propositional statement. This is his statement that really all of the text surrounds itself around. Notice what he says. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, here it is, that God is light. Why is that important? Friends, when we consider the God of heaven, we understand that the reason why darkness even exists is because of the absence of light. We know from a scientific perspective that heat is measured, not cold. So therefore, when cold exists, it's because it is the absence of heat. Which means that the God that we serve is a God of light because God himself said, I am light. But what does this mean? Is he talking about the illumination or is he talking about morality? The context bears it out very clearly, friends, that if we're going to have the love of fellowship, we have to understand what is fellowship and what is fellowship based about? What is it based around? What is it surrounded by? It is surrounded by God being light, which means that the people of God, that the only way that they can have fellowship one with another, they have to agree with what God has said, that he himself is a moral and upright being. He's light. Notice verse number 5 again. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What does this have to do with fellowship? It has everything to do with fellowship. Our fellowship with God is depending upon how we see God. Our fellowship with one another is dependent upon how we see God. The very fact that I see God as a moral and upright being, the very fact that I see him as a God of light, I am then going to position myself before God through Jesus Christ and his blood and therefore have fellowship with those who do likewise. Y'all smile on that one. That's a good point. You know why that's a good point? Because the most difficult thing to do is to line yourself up with God. Now, I want you to ponder that. God is holy. Man has sinned. God had to send Jesus. Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus had to have his blood shed. And we had to come in contact with the blood in order to be in agreement with God. And to stay in agreement with God, we have to remain in the blood. Which means that we can't be a people who walk outside of the blood of Christ. We have to remain within the blood of Christ to have steady fellowship with our God and steady fellowship with those who are in God as well. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Not one scintilla of darkness is in God. Not one iota of darkness is in God. The more that I've thought about this, the more that I think about this over the years, I think about this and I'm like,
There is nothing dark about God whatsoever. Not one single thing. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. Why? Because we're in the flesh. What does this have to do with fellowship? Everything. Look at verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's God, that's the Lord, and walk in darkness. Notice the word walk there is the idea of a lifestyle. Darkness. Since God is light, there's no darkness at all. Since we're talking about a moral standard, he must be talking about darkness as relates to a moral standard, sin. Because sin is identified with darkness. There is no sin in God whatsoever. If we walk in darkness, the Bible teaches us that we lie and do not practice the truth. Now notice a couple of things that we see here. We see a lifestyle of darkness. We see lying, and we see someone not practicing something, and that is truth. Notice what is directly linked to fellowship. The end of verse number 6, truth. In verse number 7, notice what he says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. And I love the ASV that our dear brother just read. As he himself, literally in the Greek, is in the light. God himself is the very epitome of life. When we consider 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 16, God dwells in inapproachable light, which means that we have to be a people who are walking in the light, a people who walk in truth. But also notice the very next passage. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Notice the three things that we have there, friends. We have truth, we have light, and we have blood. All are consistent with fellowship. If any of these things, if any of these three are missing, then our fellowship with God is forfeited. Our fellowship with God is null and void if any of these are missing. Number two, when we think about the truth, it is the standard of fellowship. Brother Brian, the light is a reflection of the character of fellowship, true fellowship. The blood is the sacrifice for true fellowship. Did you hear that, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ? Did you hear that? We see that the truth is the standard of true fellowship. The light is the reflection of the character of true fellowship, and the blood is the sacrifice for true fellowship. Which means that if an individual does not have these three things, they don't have fellowship with God. And this is why we hurry up, Brother Dennis, and get the gospel out, because we want people to know the truth, to be in the light, to be covered by the blood, so they can have fellowship with God. That's why it's unfortunate when individuals say that they can have fellowship with those who are outside of these three things. It can't happen. But then number three, we see that God is light. Jesus, the blood is representing Jesus. Truth is representing the Spirit. These three always agree as one. And therefore, this proves that God is who he is and that we can trust God. This whole lesson is about us having fellowship with God. So when we know that we have fellowship with God, we can then have fellowship with one another. Question. Are you in fellowship with God? Do you know God? Does God know you? Sometimes I ask people after they say, I have faith in Jesus, but does Jesus have faith in you? That's a good question. Because the only way that Jesus can have faith in us, we have to be in Christ. We have to be faithful to his will. We have to be doing the things that he desires. But then notice verse number 8. If we say that we have not sinned, notice, all of this is because of the message. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Friends, I told Bible class this morning. Brother Dennis said something very powerful last night in his speech. The truth is whole. There's no partial truth. You can't obey a partial truth because all of the facts are not in. It's amazing that even our judicial system understands that they have to gather all of the evidence. All of the facts have to get in before they make a decision. At least they should. Isn't it ironic that we ought to be a people that gather up all of the evidence? And God has given us all of the evidence, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Word, that we can draw a conclusion that's based upon the facts, based upon what Jesus has said and what God has given us and what the Holy Spirit through the apostles have written. But notice what he says in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, friends, listen to this. He is faithful and just to forgive us. What's in this fellowship? Notice, our confessing sin, write these things down, invokes God's faithfulness. Our confessing sin invokes his faithfulness. Our confessing our faults invokes God's righteousness. He's just. Our confessing sin invokes his forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Our confessing sin invokes his cleansing pronouncement in our lives. Friends, did you get that? One of the hardest things for us to do is to confess sin. When was the last time you confessed sin? I know somebody's going to get smart with me and say, you don't have to come forward. I'm not talking about coming forward. I'm talking about confessing sin. The hardest thing to tell God is what you did. Now, here it is, friends. Think about this. I'm not saying that, Father, I've sinned. The word confess is homologeo. Homo meaning the same. Logeo, word. Say the same word. Could you imagine telling God, Father, I have committed adultery and I'm sorry. You're talking about tough. That's tough words. Father, I have committed fornication. Father, I have done drugs. Father, I have done this and I'm sorry. You can disagree all you want to, but it's still true. Homologeo is a strong word. That's a strong word. And God knows how much humility it takes for you to come before him and say, I did this and I'm sorry. Well, alone tell somebody else that you did that. Friends, we're talking about fellowship. Father, I'm covetous. I love money. And I love stuff. I'm sorry. Father, I love me more than I love you right now. But I'm sorry. Friends, we're talking about fellowship. We got brethren fighting over fellowship, but do they really know what it is? Do they really know what it is to be one with God? Not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but Monday through Monday. Every day. Now let's talk about fellowship with each other. See, when I can be transparent with God, then I can be transparent with you. When I'm faking with God, then I'll fake with you. That's why it's so important to understand who he is and that he's holy and that he's righteous and that he's just and he's forgiving and he has the power to pronounce cleansing upon our lives. He has that power. All because, Father, I'm going to be honest with you. This is who I am and I'm sorry. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you. One of the hardest things to do is to tell God who you are. But one of the most rewarding things that you can do is tell God who you are. Because he knows how to clean you up when no one else can. Amen. So let's look at verse 9 again. Notice what he says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Job says in Job 40 and verse number 4, I'm vile, I'm nothing, I'm empty, I'm waste. Isaiah said my righteousness is as filthy rags, but I'm going to confess my fault to you. Why? Because I know when I do that, I become one with you. Brother Foy Forehand told me a couple of weeks ago, he's a gospel preacher in Hamilton, Texas. He said, we can't live the perfect life. The perfect life is a confession of sin life. Wow. Do you know that you can be one with God by confessing your faults to God, by being honest with God? And the world that we live in today is just not an honest world. They lie all the time. And what God says, I want you to be a people of truth. Now, since you are a people of truth, and because the perfect life is a forgiving life, it's a confession type life, thus you are made perfect. And now you're ready to fellowship with those of a like precious faith. This is why we teach people the gospel and we tell them the truth about the word of God and we tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and we explain to them about the Lord's church, the kingdom of God. We tell them about the forgiveness of sins and repentance. Why? Because we want them to be one with God. Because that's what we profess. So what is the love of fellowship? Now let's do some preaching. All of that was introductory material. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the church just begun. The Bible teaches us that they was teaching the apostles' doctrine. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. There it is. You think about fellowship, you think about those things that you join and share with one another. Well, we just shared in great singing with one another. Brother Chad was leading us. We just shared in the Lord's Supper with one another. That was a joint participation. We just shared in prayers. I hope we did. But you think about 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and y'all turn there and look at verse 4 and verse number 5. And when we consider this great fellowship, what is this great fellowship that we are engaging in even on today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, for time's sake, you go back and you read verses 1 through 3. But verse 4, notice what the Bible there has to say. That they were imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know, they was given of their means to help those who had a need. And Paul, by inspiration, called it fellowship. Oh, when we help one another, when we give to the Lord's treasury, because God has blessed us, we're in fellowship one with another. We think about this great time that we have one with another. God wants us to be a people who are singing with one another. Acts 16. Paul and Silas were in prison. And you know what they were doing? They were fellowshipping. They were singing. And even though times was tough at that particular time, they joined themselves in fellowship with God. But what is this fellowship? It is trusting God, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 9. We ought to love this particular fellowship. And we know according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11, friends, turn your Bibles there and let's look at this passage. In this passage, and friends, take this with interest. Look at this particular passage. Notice what God wants us to be. Notice how God wants us to think. In verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Why? It's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in darkness. We ought to be a people who are gravitating to the light. And this is why when we come together as the people of God, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but we ought to invite one another to each other's homes. When we have fellowships in the back room, in the auditorium, or in the, what do you call that place? Fellowship hall. How ironic we call it a fellowship hall. Shouldn't we fellowship in the hall? Friend, God wants us to be together. He wants us to share with one another. Well, I'm not a people person. You have to be a people person in Christ. God is all about people. God loves people. And those who love God love people. But Brother Bonnie, you don't understand. I'm kind of shy. Then pray through that. Work through that. So you can be a blessing to someone else. Friends, we have to love fellowship. We have to love getting together and encouraging one another and stirring one another unto love and good works. You could be the reason why someone stays in Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 9, as we attempt to come to a close, here we see that fellowship is powerful and uses terms that we can agree with and understand. You remember when the Apostle Paul was talking to the church at Galatia and he was bringing up Peter because Peter was going to go to the Jews, but Paul was going to go to the Gentiles. Yet, we understand that the Apostle Paul, as he was brought into the ministry, well, the Jews didn't really believe who he was. Yet, notice in verse number 9 what the Bible says with interest. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. You know, back in the day, I used to call a certain guy, that's my right hand man. Y'all remember those terms? That's my right hand woman right there. Which means that we're in oneness with one another. Hope Joe and I, we're one. That's my right-hand man. Brian, that's my right-hand man. Why? Because we're one with one another. One. Who are you one with? Are your best friends in Christ or outside of Christ? Well, Brother Bonner, you don't understand. I understand. I understand that we need to be one with God. And we have to love that fellowship with God, which means that we have to love the Word and love being around His people. And when we come together one with another, instead of talking about things that are carnal, why don't we talk about things that are spiritual, that we can encourage one another? Because truth be told, the only thing that we have that is worth reality, that is reality, is God. That's all we have. It's amazing that when, in the 20 years of ministry, I never find men and women on a deathbed saying, hey, can you call my banker? You know who they call, who they want to see? Family. One brother said one time, he said, Mike, do you think I'm going to go to glory? I said, well, how have you lived? Well, I've lived according to the Word. But then God is faithful and just. That's all we can go by. Friends, our fellowship with one another is so important. It can keep marriages together. It can keep families together. It can keep a congregation together. It's important that we get together and learn one another and strive with one another and help one another and love one another. We need to do that. Why? Because problems will come. Sufferings will come. Yet in Romans 8 and verse 18, we understand that the problems that we have are not even worthy to the things in which we have to look forward to. Fellowship. We need to fellowship. So let's keep spending time with one another. Let's keep reading and studying God's Word. That's the purpose of this tree. Is that you may have fellowship with God, which teaches you and me how to have fellowship with each other. So when we get together and we're talking about things that's going to make us better, you know, I like talking about the most sorry cowboys. I really do. But I would rather talk Bible. Y'all smile. We'd rather talk Bible. We'd rather talk about things that's going to enhance my life and make me a better man, a better husband, a better preacher, a better Christian, a better civilian, a better American. Fellowship does that. So the next time you find yourself around God's people and spiritual things are not coming up, why don't you be the one to say, hey, Let's open up the Bible and let's read and let's talk about it. You be that one. Young people, you be that one. And then just maybe our attitudes toward God will get deeper, richer. Just maybe as we come together, we'll say, hey, what are you going through? What can I pray for you about? How can I encourage you? How can I help you? How can I be a blessing to your life? Just maybe we can be those people that when a person has enough courage to confess their faults, Brother Pope Joy, James 5 and verse 16. Oh, the courage it takes to tell a brother or a sister, I need you to pray for me. I've sinned. And this is what I did. I just need to clear my conscience. I need to clear it up. I need to be that man that God wants me to be, that husband that God wants me to be, that Christian that God wants me to be. I need to be that individual. Therefore, we love fellowship. I ran across a passage this morning looking for another passage. Y'all go with me, and I'll let you go. Proverbs 18. And I don't know why this passage stuck out, but it did. I'm going to leave you with this passage. And I know God wants us to be together. But I know sometimes we like to be alone. Verse number 1 was interesting to me. God wants us to be together. God wants us to encourage one another. He wants us to help one another because he knows we can't get to heaven by ourselves. Proverbs 18 and verse number 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgments. What a powerful passage. Oh, if we can just stay together. Amen. Stay together. Do God's will together. Eat together. Laugh together. Cry together. Spread the gospel together. Fight false doctrine together. Why? Because we're God's people. And we love fellowship. Because we love God. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to grab one of the brothers. Grab someone you trust here that knows the word. And say, hey, I'm ready to be a Christian, but I don't know what I need to do. That's why we're here too. We're here to encourage one another, to honor God, no doubt. But also, maybe you're not a child of God. You haven't been baptized into Christ. We're asking you. No, we're pleading with you. We're like the Apostle Paul. We're begging you. Let's talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's get you to know who he is and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Yeah, we beg those who are outside of Christ to come to Christ because we know that's where salvation is. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, meaning turn from sin. Confess Jesus Christ. Don't confess your sins. Jesus already knows. God already knows that you're a sinner. But be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. It's necessary. That's where we come in contact with the blood. You come out of that blood, you come out of that water, you walk in the newness of life. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been fellowshipping. You know, maybe some of our spiritual weaknesses is because we're by ourselves. Oh, but when you're with each other and of a like precious faith and you're minded on spiritual things, you can encourage one another. But we need to love fellowship. Which means that if my brother or sister is not saying something right, I have an obligation because I love them to say, that's not what God says. Let's do what God says. As we stand, and as we sing our Savior's invitation.